Luke chapter 5. Jesus has been doing an awesome job. Some people think he's terrorizing the country because he's actually doing something. I don't know about you, but I expect to hear a bunch of coughing because that's the time of the season, and a bunch of sneezing, but it's just part of it. And I'm going to be doing a lot more drinking of water, I can tell you. So allergies is getting me. So Jesus, I don't know about you, but when I read about Jesus, it always, it's just exciting. Even if I read this story 10 times, I just think of it as a privilege just to read it. It's a privilege to read it. And when the Holy Spirit gives you insight of it and I'm truly understanding, it's just really an amazing piece. And the words should excite us. So I do challenge you guys to stay in the Word. But Jesus has done a lot of miracles already. He's healed a lot of people. He's cast out demons. He's done a lot of teaching. He's doing things. This has been the beginning of his ministry. And after he come out of that, after he come through his baptism and through the time of temptation, he went out there and it just began. And he was turning things upside down and it was messing people up. And he was doing it completely different in many ways than what was going on. He brought hope to those who were hopeless. And we're going to see this. And we're going to see just Jesus putting his feet upon the earth in the ministry. And then we're going to see how people kind of took that. So we're going to call it, there's different angles to approach this, but I'll share with you where I want to be. But in Luke chapter 5 and verse 27, this is when Levi is being called. He says, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Nobody likes April 15th. Now, all of you that have kids, I get it. You get this thing called unearned income return. But when your birdies fly the coop, your taxes go up. I'm just letting you know. You pay taxes. You don't like April 15th. So you have to pay taxes. And nobody likes tax collectors. Okay? Nobody likes tax collectors. Nobody likes paying taxes. But Jesus saw a tax collector. Jesus saw a tax collector. He saw a tax collector at the tax booth, which means when you got something, you knew, oh, I need to pay my taxes. You'd go up there and they'd sign you off on the register or whatever. And that's how you paid it. And if you didn't pay enough, they were going to come to your house. But Jesus went up to the tax collector and he said, basically, follow me. So Levi, follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up and he left everything and followed him. Why is it so hard for us to follow Jesus? This is a part of it. But why is it so hard for us to follow Christ? And he says, he left everything and he followed him. And then verse 29 says, then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with him. Not only one tax collector, but now we got tax collectors. One watching the other, making sure that all their dots are in the right place. That everybody's got, it's all about money. Tax collectors were known to collect taxes and take it and kind of shave some off for themselves. And only report so much and only give so much to who they were supposed to pay the taxes to. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples. So you got tax collectors, and you got the Pharisees and the teachers of God's word, of the law. And he said, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Why do you mingle among them? Why do you even eat with them? Tax collectors and sinners. And Jesus answered them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus can speak just a few words, but the power of it is huge. And the part where I want to look at is what these individuals, these Pharisees and teachers, what they were really doing. What they were really doing. First of all, they were being negative toward God's work. And they were being negative toward God's work. And I want to tell you, whenever you're doing God's work, there's always going to be some negativity, so you got to have to put up with it. And sometimes it comes from within. Here it's the Pharisees and the teachers, those who should have known better. They turn around and they become, why are you eating with those guys? Why are you eating with those guys? And you know that if he wasn't complaining about what they were who he was eating with, they were complaining that he was healing on the Sabbath. Then they would be complaining that he was over here talking to someone that he shouldn't have been talking to. That he did something, a healing on the Sabbath. Or he cast a demon out on the Sabbath. They were so much trying to go by the law, but they missed the whole thing of the whole law piece anyway. They missed it. So what it teaches us, there's always going to be some negativity. But I'm asking you, don't be a part of the negativity. We've all been there before. Don't be part of it. All it does is bring you down, brings you spiritually dark. It just brings you spiritually blah. It doesn't bring anything positive, and it's just a negative piece. For those who, these are the ones that should have not have been negative, but they were. You don't hear the tax collectors, the sinners, complaining. You never hear those who need a healing complain. You never hear those who are possessed complaining, unless it's the demon inside of them. What would you have with us, Jesus, Son of God? And then Jesus would say, shut up. Be quiet. There's more going on here. Christ gives his attention to the lost. He gives his attention away from those who should know. This is why he takes his attention away from the Pharisees and the teachers, and it is drawn to those of this dinner table. Another piece that I see here that these Sadducees and these Pharisees and these Pharisees and these teachers, they had no reverence. They had no reverence. They had no respect. They had no respect. Even being in the tax collector's house, they had no respect for even them, because they felt they were better. They felt they were better. But they had no respect, and they had no respect for Jesus. They had no respect. They had no reverence. They had no honor there at all. Even when you see Jesus going through his whole life cycle here on the earth, you see that there's really no respect at all, no honor, no reverence. And those who should have didn't even give it. Those who didn't really know would yell out, Son of David, over here. A moment of I need your help. Or the centurion that would come and say, hey, I have an individual who's sick. You don't even need to come into my house. You don't even need to come to my place. I'm unworthy. We're unworthy of it. You just say it and we know it's going to be done. The sinner gets it, but those who know aren't getting it, but should have gotten it. And there's no reverence for it. They have honor for the wrong things. Have respect for the wrong things and not honor for Christ himself. Now, does that mean we know that they were pretty picky and pretty honorable of their buildings and of their sanctuary? We should take care of our sanctuary. We should take care of this sanctuary. We should take care of what we have. We should. We should. Everyone does it. I mean, just from the smallest thing, from seeing a pop can on the floor, on a table, or a tissue on the ground, or whatever, we should just pick it up and go on, just because it's not my job or it's your job. It's because it's God's house. We just take care of it. And so there's a part there that we need to be reverence of that. When we come in here, this is supposed to be over there. It's a great fellowship, but when we come in here, it's a little bit more. There's a little bit more, just reverence, just a little bit. We need to do that because this is where we share the word. Okay, over there we're fellowshipping in Christ and the Holy Spirit. We're fellowshipping together, but over here it's singing and worshiping God through music and through song and through those things, but also it's the preaching of the Word, and it's when we ask the Holy Spirit to be a part of what we're doing, that He may move upon the hearts of His women, His men and women, and His children of His house and His family. So we can have reverence for the house of God. But these individuals had another piece that I saw that they struggled with. They had no fear of God. They had no fear. They had no fear at all. It's almost like they wanted people to fear them. Because I am the Pharisee. I am the head priest in this area. I am part of the Levi line. I am part of this. I get to do this because that makes me special, and so you should fear me. No. The Bible says that we do need to fear the Lord. And I think it's kind of complicated for some of us to understand. What does that mean? Does that mean that God's going to come and strike you down because you've done something? Now, does he have the right to do that? Of course he does. But he does it because he loves you, and his grace is overflowing, and his love and those things. But we come to a place sometimes where we just want God to be a buddy. I understand the friend of God song. I understand that the scripture says there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. But there's more spoken on the fear of God than it is him being a friend. We don't fear God like we should. Let me tell you, we think of him as too much as a friend. The Bible says we need to fear God. We see that all through Scripture. Noah feared God. We see that men feared God. Isaiah stood trembling. Fear. Fear is a good thing. Fear God. It's not that he strikes you down. Listen, it's not that he's going to walk alongside of you and say, oh, you screwed up one too many times, and then you're done and you're out. Now listen, let's step aside for a moment. There is something called discipline. God disciplines those whom he loves. He disciplines them just like a father does children. A father should discipline their children, not out of anger that's dark, not out of sinful anger, but out of love. Because he loves us. But the fear of the Lord is this. It's not that God's going to strike you with his hand. It is that God might take his hand off of you. And then you're going to live your life without God's hand on you. That is the fear of the Lord that God's word is talking about. He tells us here in Philippians 2, he says this in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, Paul is saying, you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. They say, oh, I'm excited, I'm saved. That's good. But remember, your salvation came at a cost. That the love that God has for you came at a cost. It is a free gift to us, but understand it was when it was given freely, but it was at a cost to Christ who gave it free. And these individuals, these Sadducees, these Pharisees and these teachers, they weren't grasping any of those things. They were only concerned about themselves. How dare you go over there and you eat with them people because they're not as good as we are. Listen, the whole racism, the whole paradigm of rich and middle class and low and slavery, because slavery then was lower than poor. There was a class lower than poor. And they knew these, they divided it very well back then. But Jesus walked right through each one of them. Walked right through each one of those walls, each one of those rooms, and he was connecting them all. And it was messing them all up. And they didn't have any, they were being negative about this. They didn't have any reverence for God. They didn't have any reverence for actually the Word. They were reading the Word, but they weren't knowing what the Word meant. They were not applying it. They were applying it to everybody else, but they really were not applying it to themselves. And they had no fear of the Lord. They really had no fear of the Lord. They used the Lord when they wanted to at their advantage, and they would adjust and change things. But Jesus says, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Now I want to tell you, it's hard to help someone who is sick and doesn't want to go to the doctor. How many of you all have a relative that says, I'm not going to the doctor. I'll die before I go to the doctor. Yep. I've got a couple of them too. It's hard to help someone when they, you know, it's hard to help someone when they say, I'm not sick. No, I don't need a doctor. And when they don't need that doctor, what can you do? Well, we know that we can pray for them and we need to continue to be available to them. But Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor. That gives us a clue. Luke chapter 4, prior verse, let me just read it real quick for you. Because he says this, it is not the healthy who need a doctor. It is not the healthy who need a doctor. But also it says this in Isaiah chapter 61. But Jesus is in the synagogue and he pulls out this scroll and he begins to read in Isaiah. And he says this in verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom of the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. To release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he says, then he rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. We see it two chapters. We see some time expand go between then and now. And here he is saying the same thing, but he's saying it in a very short piece. He says, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But he didn't stop. He says, I have come. He says, I have not come to call the righteous. That's what he said. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You can't pick out who you want. We can't pick out who we want if we're going to do it God's way in this church. But churches do. They'll meet you at the door. If you're not dressed right, they'll meet you at the door. And very kindly kind of brush you off back out the door. That has happened in this community a couple of times. Sinners come with a lot of baggage. And that baggage is sin. Okay? And the effects of sin in their life. Those are lost. The sinners come that with baggage in there, and it comes with a lot of junk. But there is something that if they even make it through the doors, it is that someone had invited them, or someone had invited them, just as Jesus was talking to Levi. Levi invited others to come to this banquet. Jesus had nothing negative to say about the crowd. He only said something good. Jesus basically was saying, I need to be right here, boys. This is where I need to be. I didn't come for the righteous. I didn't come for those who are healthy and don't need a doctor. I come as a spiritual doctor, physician, to help them to a place where they need to get to. And it says that I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, some people will come in wanting something different than repentance. They'll come in wanting a healing without a repentance. They'll come in wanting something without what it takes to lead that godly life, that whole salvation piece. But he come to work with sinners. And sinners, and we've all been there, And we're all still sinners. We're just sinners saved by grace. Okay? Doesn't make us any better than others at all. But there is a part that we are something different than those that are not. That we are children of God. That we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. That we are the light of the world. That we shine in the darkness so that others can hear the gospel, that others can hear and the sinners can turn from their ways and to repent, to turn away from that lifestyle. Here it is, it's not just about Jesus coming and to forgive people, but that they turn away from the lifestyle. Now we have churches today that say, your lifestyle is fine. Stay. Because afraid of numbers, whether it be people in the seats or the finances in the bank. Jesus was never concerned about those things. He was concerned about the sinner coming to repentance. That's what the cross is all about. They don't understand. They don't understand that he is on a journey heading to a cross. That all people, whoever they are, could call upon the name of Jesus and be saved. But here he comes through in between these moments, between the cross and where he is at this moment. He continues to reach out to sinners. He continues to go to places that most won't go. He'll hang out at a well because there's a woman who's an adulterous woman. He'll hang out at a well where no one talks to a Samaritan woman, especially a male Jew. He'll hang out in places where they'll bring sinners to him and ask him, as the adulterous woman coming to there, and say, and he'll say, "You without sin cast the first stone." Jesus will stand there till the end, and he'll say, "Where are your accusers?" And she said, "There are none." And he says, "Neither I do I accuse you. But go away and sin no more." You see, Jesus will always tell them to the repentance of walking away from the sin. But people are always coming, would always come to him with all kinds of things to try to trap him, to put him in a trap, to get him to mess up or get him to do something. And many times they would send somebody to arrest him, and they would walk back, these people that would, these so-called the police, and they would come back and to the high priest and say, they go, "Did you arrest him?" "No, we couldn't arrest him. He said things that were just amazing." "Did he fool you too?" is what the high priest, "Did he fool you too?" You see, people can hear the gospel over and over and over. But if they don't think they need a doctor, then they're not going to listen to the doctor. But when you're standing outside the gate and you see hope walking by, and these men, gentlemen, would yell out, "Son of David," or "Jesus," and he would be talking with a leper, a man with leprosy, or men of leprosy, or blind, or blind man, or blind men. And he would continue to do that over and over and over. Yet there was somebody always in the crowd pointing a finger at him, saying something about him. And who was it? It was always those Pharisee guys, those teachers, always trying to get him in a question, always trying to trick him. And then they'd all run back and they'd huddle up and they'd get all angry and they'd get all mad because they don't think they need a doctor. Everybody's around Jesus over there trying to get to him. As the woman that continued to bleed, she says, this is my only hope. And she had to bust through. And I'm telling you, sometimes I'm not saying you got to chase Jesus, but I'm just telling you, sometimes you need to run to him and don't listen to these people over here. And these people over here can be very highly educated. They can be leaders in the community. They can be leaders. They can be people in your family. You know what's tough about family? You can't change your family. You can change your friends, but you can't change your family. Your blood is what your blood is. So sometimes God makes us work with them, so we don't run away from people all the time. Then he said something else. They said to him, John's disciples often fast and pray. So do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours goes on eating and drinking. Try to get him again. Basically, they were saying, Jesus, your disciples, and they never fast. We fast. Oh, yeah, by the way, John the Baptist, that guy's disciples, they fast too. You know, if you want to know something about the Gospels, you'll see how patient, what is patient? What is really patient? The way Jesus was on this earth. So many people going at him, and he was patient. So many people trying to ruffle him up. So many people seeing these things and just poking at him all the time. But Jesus answered. And when Jesus answered, it's always an awesome answer. Can you make the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? This is kind of a cultural thing. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days, they will fast. They have no understanding what that is. That's when Jesus leaves. He sends back into heaven. And he told them this parable, and he goes on for some other things. But I truly believe if they just kept hammering at him, Jesus would give an answer. They would dumbfound him. Because when people feel they're not spiritually sick, you can't do... There's got to be an awakening in them. There's got to be something where they say, listen, I need help. I need the Lord. I need it. And when the Lord passes by, sometimes people don't even see it. Jesus says this, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Anybody that knows my house, me and Carla, when we were a little bit younger and our kids were younger, we had a lot of kids at our house. We had a lot of kids at our house that would come over from our friends. And sometimes I remember one friend that would come over. One of their friends would come over because it was one of their friend's brother. But our house was known to be open. Amber and Ashley were there quite a bit, but it would be open. And Carla never knew how much food to prepare. This was Monday through, this was every day of the week. She never really knew how much to prepare. And there would be faces around that table that I sometimes may forget their names, but I'll never forget their faces and some of the things that they said around the table. I'll never forget the time a parent came to our house and said, I'm looking for my son. I heard he could be down here. I believe he was in second grade. If you know where I live, he lived off Creighton Street. I live on the south side, Fairfield. How he maneuvered, I don't know. But we sat there at that table and we began to do something my boys didn't really like, but I think they did. They just don't want to admit it. We did a high-low where you would say, what was your high of the day and what was your low of the day? It just got us to talk around the table. And when we were done, we all kind of got through it and we'd really be patient. Nobody can get out of it unless sometimes somebody really had a bad day. We let them do two downs or really had a good day, two ups. But they had to all share around the table. And I remember this little boy when he turned around and he said this, can I come again tomorrow? And then we wouldn't see him for a week or two. He would come back. He said, can we play that game? What game is that? Where you get to share something. I miss those days where I didn't know who was coming in my home. I miss those days. I do. Another chapter in my life right now, but I miss those days where some of those kids would come through and I wouldn't know. And sometimes I knew someone was rougher than others. But it was that we always prayed at dinner time. We'd ask for prayer requests. Many times they'd ask prayer for their moms or their dads or whatever. And we continued to pray. Was there a little drama sometimes? Yeah, because it's kids. But that's okay. And I love them all. And what I love is seeing on Facebook when they get married, I get invited or I get to do one of the weddings or I'm a part of somewhere what's going on, or I get a text out of the blue and say, Jimmy, can you help me? I need some money. I got arrested or whatever, and I'm not going to play that, but I'll love you from a distance and I'll help you the best I can, but I'm not going to give money for drugs. They know that I'm still there. Because why? Because we sat around a table and we sat and we just didn't have it for family. We opened it up for whoever the boys' friends were and the neighborhood. They would come in and we had a meal together. And after this, Jesus went out and he saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at the tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up and left everything and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet dinner for Jesus at his house. And a large crowd of tax collectors and others was eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repent. There's been some in my house that we would not admit, nobody will admit it, but some of them stayed extra long days. Some of them stayed a few months, night after night after night. You know what that is? That's living there. But it's because they found a place that they felt was safe. Can I tell you, Jesus is safe. Jesus will sit at your table anytime. But I don't always think Jesus wants to be just sitting with just you and him. I think sometimes he wants to sit with you and somebody, one of your friends. Maybe somebody that you don't know that well. Because I can't think that we've all arrived. That Jesus is still wanting to sit around the table. Do some highs and do some lows and do some prayer requests and do some fellowshipping and letting somebody relax for a moment. Not just inviting those that you expect, but those that might be a little risk. Can I tell you that I've had some things stolen out of my house? Yeah. My sons have had some things stolen from them in the house, money, electronic trinket. But did it stop us from inviting kids? Because most of the time we didn't know who it was, but we still invited. But what would they usually look for? Coming at the house, coming and banging and yelling and screaming and pointing a finger, getting the cops involved. Yeah, we had a little loss. But honestly, I can't remember the things that we really truthfully lost. But I can remember their faces. You know, not everybody was nice to Jesus, even those that he was helping. Not everybody was nice. But the Bible still says, for whosoever. John 3 says, well, that God so loved the world. And even those who pointed a finger at Jesus, even those who persecuted him, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. And the Bible says, for whosoever. It's open to all. It's open to all. And I would tell you this. Don't get to a place where you stop fearing the Lord. Remember, it's not that his hand will hurt, but it does. But he might just take his hand off. Let's stand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer here. I want to pray before we open up this time of invitation. Father, I do miss those days of our home filled with children and teenagers. There's a time and a place and a chapter in every man, every woman's life. But Father, I thank you that You've reminded us today that when we look at our dinner table, that does it have to be full with all those that we know, or can we invite someone that maybe we don't know, or just know a little bit? Somebody that we're working with, someone that you're drawing us to. I pray, Father, Lord, that our fellowship will outreach more than what we can think. May our hearts be drawn to your Spirit, and may you move upon us as your will is this morning. For it's in Christ's name. Amen.